What we'd really like to do is be able to predict which patients are the ones that are going to get the benefit. And we know that not everybody gets the average benefit. We know that from neoadjuvant therapy. Some patients are big winners and some patients aren't big winners. And that's almost certainly true for micrometastatic disease as well. So there are a number of strategies now that really look interesting in terms of being able to predict the benefit of chemotherapy. I think the one that's most widely thought about at the moment is the Oncotype DX test. Of course, there's a recent publication in the JCO of a study in which they looked at the ability of that test to predict chemosensitivity to CMF. And that was in collaboration with the NSABP. And what they found was that if you had a very low recurrence score, those tumors actually appeared not to benefit from chemotherapy, and that the patients who had high recurrence scores were at high risk for recurrence, and nature's kind, and actually set things up. So those are the ones who were clearly substantial winners by getting adjuvant CMF. In that trial, the risk of distant recurrence in 10 years was roughly 30%. And for those patients that received CMF and had the high recurrence scores, that was reduced to somewhere around 12%. So over 50% of the distant recurrences were prevented by CMF in those patients. Now, for the patients with low recurrence scores, the risk of recurrence was somewhere around 4%. And it was a similar number, irrespective of whether or not they received CMF. So there didn't appear to be benefit in that group. Now, one thing that's important to say, and that is that the crucial statistical test, and that is to look for what's called interaction between therapy. And that's how sure are you really that you're really seeing a difference in responsiveness between the high-risk and the low-risk patients. And the test for an interaction actually was statistically significant. The test did seem to be predicting which patients would particularly benefit from the therapy.
What are the situations clinically where you think the Oncotype DX can be most useful?
I think that this test is designed to be used and basically was developed in patients who were node negative estrogen receptor positive who were receiving tamoxifen as a baseline therapy. So that's the patient population that is the target population for the test. Now, the other thing to say is that, like any test, it's a test that should be used when the result might affect the decision. And I think that for most of us, irrespective of what a recurrence score showed, if the patient had a T3 tumor, we simply wouldn't be satisfied with the test. And I think that there are probably oversimplifications of looking at the test, and that is to think of it as completely independent of other information. Actually, one of the things that's interesting that we've done in collaboration with the NSABP is actually look at Adjuvant Online's predictions versus the Oncotype DX predictions. They were both strong predictions. The Oncotype DX predictions were a little bit better, but not really statistically better. And interestingly, when you put them in a multivariate analysis, both were still predictive, telling you these 16 genes don't totally describe everything that you might find by looking at the tumor by classic pathology. And that doesn't surprise me, incidentally. I think that, for instance, tumor size, I would expect to be somewhat independent. We know that the molecular signature doesn't change much as the tumor gets bigger once it's gotten to a macroscopic size. And so to some extent, the tumor size is a clock. How long has it been there? So that it would make sense that a bigger tumor, even if it had a recurrence score estimate that looked favorable, might not be quite as favorable as we view it at the moment.